Let's pray. Our Father, we have come before you and we are children, and one thing that we long for is to know what it is to receive praise from you. And we are confident that we're accepted and beloved in Jesus Christ. And we also know that when by your Spirit fruit, good works come from our lives, it is pleasing to you. And you are the kind of Father who encourages and who gives recognition. And you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And so we long to walk in a manner pleasing to you. We long to be in your presence, to sense your favor. And we thank you, Lord, that you are encouraging us and that you're at work and you are the one whose name we also want to bless, not only receiving blessings from you, but we want to bless your name by our lives, by our praise. So we pray tonight that you would be forefront in our mind and that you would be lifted up in our prayers, that you would be taught and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus in our various classes. Be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's go ahead and start by looking at God's Word. I'm going to look at Mark 14, verse 35. Mark 14, verse 35. This is from this Sunday's passage. The setting is Jesus in the garden on the side of the mountain, and he is, they've concluded the Passover, the first Lord's Supper, and he is about to be arrested, and he knows it. He's about to be betrayed, and he has forewarned everybody. He's about to be abandoned, and everyone has been challenged by that. So Mark 14, verse 35, speaking of Jesus, he went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. So when we look at this part of Scripture, it's useful to ask, what is the hardest point in Jesus' ministry on earth? What is the hardest point of what he did while he was walking and ministering and serving and teaching? Is it the cross? Everything that ran right up to that, where he was beaten, lashed, nailed, pierced, hung. Is it the cross that was the hardest point? Or is it his anticipation of the cross? You know how the anticipation of pain, if you've got something coming up, anticipation of pain can be equally agonizing for us as human beings. Maybe you've got dental surgery scheduled. And for the days that are approaching it, if you especially are sensitive about things done in your mouth, you might be very worried about the drilling, worried about the clamping, worried about whether the anesthesia will take. And so the anticipation of the procedure is maybe just as bad, maybe even worse than the actual procedure and its pain. Or maybe you have a hard conversation with somebody that's scheduled, a conversation that you can't avoid, but you expect it to be very difficult. And so the days before it, you're worried. You're waking up at night, worried about it, imagining all through the day what he will say or what she will say or what you'll do if they do this and what you should do if they do that. Worried and consumed with the fallouts, the repercussions, and you're just very much agonizing about it. The anticipation of something can be just as painful as the event. In the case of Jesus' death, he knows. There's no exaggeration in his anticipation. He knows how bad his death is going to be. He knows the many different levels at which he's going to suffer. He will suffer physically. He will suffer emotionally. He will suffer socially in terms of the community. Spiritually, he knows the suffering that lies ahead of him. The pressure on him as he anticipates that, the pressure could not have been higher. So, what did Jesus do when he faced pain and death, when he anticipated it? When everything was about to fall apart, when everything was about to fall upon him. What did he do? He prayed. He prayed. Specifically, he brought anguish to God. He brought anguish to God. Look at verse 35. It says, Jesus fell on the ground. There are, our confessional standards teach about images of Christ, but people go ahead and make images of Christ, and it's in children's educational things, it's depictions, but how many of them have a depiction of Jesus falling on the ground crying? Jesus, when he does this, falls on the ground and prays. When he does that, he's not worried, but he's in agony. He is in agony. He is overwhelmed. He is moaning. He is crying in his prayers. Hebrews 5:7 says, speaking of him, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. Jesus Christ cried tears. Jesus made vehement cries to God. His anguish in prayer, it burst blood vessels in his head. The stress increased to the point of an aneurysm. Luke 22:44, being in agony, Jesus prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And what did he pray about his death? What did he pray? Jesus prayed, I don't want this to happen. That's another way to word what he said. That's what take this cup away from me. Let this cup pass from me. That's what it means. I don't want this to happen. Now, perhaps tonight you face something overwhelming, something painful that you can't avoid, something terrible, and it scares you to death. Well, go to God with it. Go to God with it. Jesus fell on his face, crying tears, crying out with his words. You go to God, fall on the floor, bring your tears, pray out loud to him. Tell God, stop the train. Tell God you want to get off of this train. Tell God to let the cup pass from you. It's not disrespect if you do that. That's faith. Your heart may be falling apart. Your mind may be racing. Don't stuff it down. Let it come out. Don't endlessly just rehearse it in your head. Take it to your Father. When Jesus prayed this way, and from what they know about those times, when people prayed, generally, it was out loud. It wasn't this kind of silently in your heart, in your head. There is some of that. You have Nehemiah's example. You have Hannah in the temple. But generally, they say when people prayed back then, they prayed out loud. Pray out loud. Take it to your Father. When Jesus prayed this way, his disciples all ended up sleeping through it. They were too tired to watch and to pray. And Jesus prayed these prayers, cried these cries alone. But as you pray in this way, Jesus is not asleep. You are not alone. Jesus prays with you. Hebrews 7 says, Jesus always lives to make intercession for us. Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He is praying for you. He is lifting up anguish with you and for you. Just as Jesus prayed in the garden, Jesus now prays at the throne. So bring your anguish with Jesus to God. Amen.